Anything else? So let's continue our study on the constitution of the church, the constitution of the kingdom of God. It's nice to see Joyce. How are you, Joyce? That's good. The constitution of the kingdom of God. And let's open our Bible on the Beatitudes, on Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And we had been studying this this constitution for the past 2 weeks, and let's read Matthew chapter 5, starting verse 3. Are you all there? Okay, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." So, blessed are the meek. That's our text this morning. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This what Christ's first presentation to his disciple, his followers, as to the way how the followers of Christ, how the believers will walk. This is the way Jesus Christ wants us to walk. And this is the way we need to walk to be, because we are in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. We have a different ways to walk. Amen? And this is God, this is the presentation of Jesus Christ to all the residents, to all the followers, to all the believers. We should walk. So what I'm saying, this is not for the super saint. This is for you and me, for the citizen of the heavens, of the kingdom of God. Amen? The constitution is the guide of every followers, of every believers, as the way they should walk in the kingdom of God. And the world will laugh at us in everything that we say today, because they do not fit into the category of understanding of how the citizens of the kingdom of God should walk. Amen? So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are dying, to those who are perishing. But for you and me, for those believers, for those who are being saved, it is the power of God." So there is a power of God for you and me that are living. Amen? But this is only to prove that there are only two kinds of kingdom. Only proves that the kingdom of darkness has a different sets of laws. Right? For which they live by, and the kingdom of God has another set of laws. So, as I said, the other Sunday, that we try to bring the kingdom of God in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God, and if we are doing, we are walking the way how the kingdom of darkness should walk in the kingdom of God, there should be a friction that will come through in our life, and that maybe sometime you might say that I am better when I was in the kingdom of darkness than here, that now that I am saved, I experience so much heartache. It's because we are practicing the laws, our attitude in the kingdom of God. Right? How many of you experienced that? That when you got saved, It seems to me that you have more troubles in your life when you are still in the kingdom of darkness. Amen? I experienced that because I've been in the kingdom of God for 30 years. And suddenly, I received the Lord. Now, God says, you know what? Walk the way I walk. So now I'm trying to walk God's walk, but then I'm trying to walk the, when I was still in the darkness, the kingdom of darkness. So there's friction. There's sometimes you will be frustrated that the Christian life is different than when you're still in the kingdom of darkness, right? So it would not work that way. But when I understand that there is the law of the kingdom of God, there is a constitution in the kingdom of God, so now I have to flow what God wants me to flow. I have to walk. I have to act. React in the way God wants me to do. In Romans chapter 14, we had been reading this. For Romans chapter 14, verse 17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." So now, in the kingdom of God is not about eating or drinking, but it's about righteousness. And there's peace and there's joy. How many of you believe that God wants us to enjoy life? Amen? So, in the kingdom of God, it does not consist of what we possess. That's what the Bible says. It's that what we possess. The kingdom of darkness focuses on the outward appearance of state well-being. But the kingdom of darkness focuses on their laws, on state of well-being. That's what the kingdom of darkness is all about. It's focused on the outside appearance. It focuses on the laws of the state of well and whatever stage of life you are in. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, it focuses the internal well-being of a person. See the difference? The kingdom of darkness is focused on the outside appearance. It is your state. Well, it's your well-being. But in the kingdom of God, it focuses on the internal well-being. How are you doing internally? The kingdom of God is internal. Remember? It does not come by observation. And most of us, we observe. We profile person. But we don't know inside of their life. In su corazón, right? Amen? The kingdom of God is from within. We talk about that. The kingdom of God is from within. Amen? And if you are right from within, everything in the external takes its place in a beautiful pattern. Amen? You don't have to worry. You don't have to frustrate yourself. Because Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will add it to you as well. Man, can you read that? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things in this world, things will be added to you as well. So God's focus is not on the external. And as we look up, it affects the external. God's focus is in the internals, but also affects the external. It is interesting when we look up the constitution of the kingdom of God. In Luke's account, I want you to look up Luke's account. Luke chapter 6 in the New Testament. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, and then Luke, chapter 6. Are you all there? Luke, chapter 6. Verse 20. Are you all there? In Luke's account, it says, looking at his disciple, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger, now for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep, now for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you." Have you noticed anything in there that is different than in Matthew's account? Did you notice one word? In Matthew's account, it says, "Blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor." But in Luke's account, it says, "Blessed are you." Now it becomes personalized. Now it becomes individualized. Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is given to you. Blessed are you who are hungry, now for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you. Now it becomes personalized. Did you notice that? God's focus is on individuals. Because if the kingdom of God is not in order, the church will not be in order, right? God is not focusing in a general group of people and says, "I want you all to be happy." No, he just comes to one another, after another, after another, and put us all in an order. And then when you come into the house of God, we find righteousness, there is peace, there is joy in our existence. Did you notice that? I want you to line up the word "you," because it's emphasized. It's not only for the disciple of Jesus Christ. It applies to you and me. Because God wants you and me. Because if one individual is not right with God, how many knows that the church could not function? That's why God says, each one of you, I want you and you and you to have that kind of attitude in your life. Amen? That's why how many notice that if one person in the church, it's not here, you're looking for him or you're looking for her. How many of you that if one, that your tongue is aching, how many of you experience that when this one is aching, the whole body is aching? Amen? That's why in Luke's account, it's individualized. There's personalized for you and me. If we really know how to say, "You know what? I'm sorry, I repent," then God says, "I will come to you, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you." Is that right? So now it becomes individualized. If we come in a true spirit of repentance, God will draw near to you. The problem is that until we see our need, we will not repent. Amen? So, there is individual, every person. If we come to the Lord with a repented heart, when we come together, he said, God says, "You know what? I will comfort you. I will draw near to you." Amen? So, in the scripture, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Right? So man could not escape from the iniquities of life. And this is why God gave us the wonderful avenue. And we don't use it, God could not come to us. Because the avenue of God's repentance. This is not just a negative words, but it's a good word that if we come to the Lord with a godly repentance, God says, "I will draw near to you." Amen? So there's the things that we need to observe in order since we are living in God's kingdom. Amen? Even though it's in Luke's account, it's individualized, but because the church is involved different person. Different person in the church. Amen? And that when we draw near to God, God says, you know what? I will draw near to you. Amen? And when we come to a place of recognizing that we need God and we are willing to repent and to be truly sorry, a godly sorrow produces what? Produces repentance. And God picked him up and established him and restored him. That individual will be restored in the church. Amen? So now, I would like to go to Matthew chapter 5 and that verse 3 to 12 again. We're going to read it. That's our text for the next two Sundays. And I think I still have two more Sundays to share with you the Beatitudes. And in chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 12, I'm going to read to you from 3 to 12. And it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord God. Thank you for this constitution, Lord, for this framework that you have given to your disciples and you have given to us as well, that it's applicable in our life, Lord, as we follow you. And Lord, we thank you and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here in verse 5, the text that we're going to focus this morning is blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And I believe that that's the constitution of God's kingdom must be in our spirit. Over and over we hear it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And these are the sequence of the constitution of God. And these are not by accident. This is written for the plan of God in his constitution, that we might follow, and as we go, we will experience the abundant life that God has given to us. Amen? The Lord Jesus himself, the great master teacher, is laying a step, a foundation, by how we walk in his kingdom, how to enjoy the kingdom of God, how to enjoy life in this planet Earth. And so you and I must start with number one, recognizing I have a need. I have a need of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there's the kingdom of heaven. Not only I have a need when I got saved, but I live in a constant awareness. See, sometimes when you say that I have a need, blessed are the poor in spirit, sometimes we say that we need that only when we have that received the Lord, and that we need it when we recognize that we need it, then we said it. But what I'm talking about now is now that you are saved, now that you are living in the kingdom of God. So now as a resident of this kingdom, I have that constant awareness in my life that I need God every day of my life. Not only that I'm doing okay with my life, I'm doing okay with my husband or with my wife, but what God is saying here in His constitution, in the Beatitude, that we must have a constant awareness that we need God every day of our life. Not only that when I am sick or I am not doing well with my children, my relationship with my children, but the Beatitude, the blessed are the poor in spirit, is something that I have experienced that in my daily lives. Amen? Are you with me? So it's not only when you got saved, but this is an ongoing every day as we journey, as we navigate Christian life in this world. Amen? So the first thing that we need to do is that we have the blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of God. Amen? Apart from God, I cannot do anything. Amen? That's the number one flat framework that God has given to His disciple and to those who follow Him. Number two, blessed are those who know how to say, I'm sorry, to truly repent. And that is not only the initial experience from the altar. It's the daily, constantly knowing that we need God. And I need to say that I'm sorry. There is a repentance, a continuous repentance, a continuous, because every day there is that constant awareness in our life. Not because of, so these are the first two that God has instituted to the citizens of His kingdom. Amen. Now Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Again, the world will say, that's not the way how you and I should inherit the earth. To inherit the earth, you need to be aggressive, right? You need to be assertive. You have to be persistent. You need to get out there and drive, and you need to be self-confidence. And that's the way how the world will approach his life. Amen. And Jesus Christ came and said, that's not the way how you should live in the kingdom of God. You really want to be successful? You want to inherit the earth? You must allow the spirit of meekness to be upon you. Now, we know that God does not save people because they have a certain character or outlook. We are not going to talk about meekness. That is not. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk meekness that is not meekness. So, now let's look up what meekness is not. Okay? We have that one, Erwin? Meekness is not just having a certain trait or character. Different people have different personalities. Amen? It's just like a Simba. Remember Simba, Sister Beck? Your dog, is that Simba? And then when you arrive and they start to run and then you try to jump on you and then try to lick you. See? Those are certain characteristic. Right? Sometimes there is an aggressive kind of dog, right? And he's ready to fight. And there's another dog that, they just kind of hide the other dog. And the same thing with we have two dogs. We have Kimba, the Doberman, I don't know what's that, German Shepherd. And we have Brisket, the feisty Chihuahua. And the big dog, somebody approaching our door night at around 11 o'clock. This big dog stay behind, whereas Brisket went up front of the door and start barking. This big dog. So there are two different kinds of personalities, right? But that's not what God is talking about. It's not about your outward appearance, your outward aggressiveness or you know, your external well-being, right? Amen. And we don't call brisket meekness or skimba meekness, and the brisket is assertive. That's not meekness at all. God is not talking about that's meekness, right? Are you with me? Meekness is not peace at any price. Just I don't want to bother you. I don't want to argue with you. Go ahead, take whatever you want. But that's not meekness that God is talking about here, right? And there is some excellent example in the Bible about meekness. Remember Abraham before he became Abraham? Remember him? In Genesis chapter 13, verses 1 to 12, since Genesis is an easy book to find, I want you to turn in Genesis 13. Because Abram is a very good example of a meek spirit. Are you there? Genesis chapter 13. I'm going to read it to you because this is very important that we know what meekness is all about. Okay, are you all there? I'm going to read it verse 1 to 13. So Abram went up from Egypt to Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From Negev, he went from a place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There Abraham called on the name of the Lord. So he prayed. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents, But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their positions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herdmen and the herdsmen of Lot. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Lot, look up and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt toward Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of plain and pitches his tent near Sodom." So here, there's two situations, Lot and Abram. And Abram is older. He's senior citizen. Older than Lot. In Jewish society, older people have a priority. They have the rights. It's just like when you go to the Philippines, when you're riding the RLT, when there's a lot of people crowding up, but then they will say, "Senior citizen, go this line." So I go, the police, "Yes, sir, you go this way." Because senior citizen line is less compared to the men and women. It's crowded. So in the Jewish community, senior citizen, older people, they respect, they give you the seat too. So here, Abraham could have said, "You know what? I see that side lot, it looks like a garden of God. I'll take that one." But no. Abram, he said, you know what, Lot, our herdsmen are fighting one another. We have so much wealth. How many of you have so much wealth? Overflowing. Okay, I'm just telling, sharing this with you because God has promised you abundant life. Amen. And you should know how to handle that. The problem probably that God have not given you the abundant life yet because you don't know how to handle it. So that's why we have this constitution, so that we know how to enjoy life, how to enjoy the inheritance. Amen. Remember, blessed are you. What did we make? Because you will inherit the what? The earth. Now we have a problem with that. But I'll talk to you about that later. So meekness, going out of track with this. Okay, meekness is not about, you know what the situation of Abraham and Lot. See, and God considered Abraham as a big person because he did not fight for his own right. Right? He did not fight for his own right. And I was watching the YouTube the other night, and I Googled road rages. Have you seen that? Road rages. And then this guy, he was cut off, and he was mad. Now he start chasing with another in the freeway. And then probably, I don't know what they saying, these two guys, he went on the side. And then the guy that was cut off, he was mad. He has a stick. And then he said, you cut me off. It's my right. And then the guy that cut him off, he doesn't talk to him. The window is closed and he's still banging. Open the window and then he just look at there. He doesn't even look the guy. So he looked like he just gave up his right. And suddenly the guy could not resist and he could not, he could not resist anymore because the guy is not paying attention to him. He came back and then I thought he's gonna break the window. But then probably two of his friends came and said, you know what, let's go. So sometimes meekness is it's under control. Or it's control. Control anger. So here we can see that the story of Abraham. That he did not fight for his right. He said, go away and take whatever you want. Amen. And that spirit of meekness. There's another one. Can you remember Moses? Moses, when he was raised in Pharaoh's White House. Remember, he lives there. He was educated in the University of Pharaoh's University. He was trained. Actually, he was trained to be Pharaoh. Right? But then he killed the Egyptian guy, which is he's fighting with the Israeli guy. So he killed the Egyptian guy and he's tried to buried him. And he was caught. And he ran in the back of the desert. Remember? Until that burning bush experienced Moses. And then he says, God says, you know what, Moses, get ready. I'm going to send you to Egypt. And Moses, no, I'm not even know how to speak. He has staggered speech. But how many knows that he was trained in he was highly educated? Amen? And in fact, when he realized, he went to the backstage, back in the desert, and then he realized that he need God. And that's where the burning bush comes. And that's why in Numbers 12, verse 3, God says that Moses is the meekest man on earth. Wow. Is the meekest man on earth. So meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. Just think about Stephen, the first martyr, Christian martyr, when he proclaimed Jesus Christ, and then the Pharisees and the Sadducees trying to stone him. Remember that? That he, even though his brain was stoned and it's all scattered, but he still have that says that, Lord, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. Amen? The same thing with Jesus Christ. When everybody deserted him and the soldiers trying to pierce his body and all of those floggings in his life. And then Jesus said, I am meek and lowly in heart. And as he being nailed to the cross, driving those nails into his hand, he could call an armies, legions of armies to protect him, to defend him, but he didn't choose that way. So now those are not meekness. Now we'll see what meekness is all about. It's a comparable to great strength and power. Meekness is strength under control, right? A person who is meek is not full of pride. He's not a prideful person. He's not full of himself. A meek person is not easily provoked. He's not walking around with chips in his shoulder, waiting for just somebody to just bump him on a wrong way. Meek person is a defender of faith. He will not defend himself, but is willing to die for his Lord. A person that is meek is the one that is forgiving and not revengeful. A meek person realizes that he had been delivered from the world of fighting for his rights. A meek man is not self-focused man. He is not sensitive about himself. So there is an old saying that he that is down has no fear of falling. Because you're already down. It's stay humble before the Lord. We don't worry about falling down. Amen? So the people who found their keys, they were able to inherit the earth. If you found that, if you belong to that meek person, you will inherit the earth. So a meek person never questioned the integrity of God. No matter what happened, he keeps his faith and trust on God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 to 23, I think we have that one there. 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 to 23, it reads, this suffering is all part of what God has called you to. Christ, who suffered for you, is your example. Follow in his steps. He never sinned, and he never deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted. When he suffered, he did not threaten to get even. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. So it takes all the reaction of life, and the spirit of retaliation is not there. He's given over his total trust on God. No matter what man will do to him, God, you are the righteous judge, and you take the situation no matter what happened to me. Now he said, he is the example for us to follow. So now we see that the life of Jesus Christ and the life of Moses and Abraham, it's there. It is written there so that we can follow. Amen? And that's, let me close this. It says, he shall inherit the earth. Think about that. And a lot of us, we're looking forward that we're going to go to heaven. But the Bible says that we're going to inherit the earth. The Bible did not say you will inherit the heaven. So where are we? Are we inheriting the earth or are we going to heaven? That's a problem. Huh? Because we believe that we're all going to go to heaven. See, the word inherit, it says to possess or to enjoy. That which is received as a gift in contrast with that which is received as the regard of a law making, law keeping. The word inherit is automatically a blessing to have a part. Now, there are two truths about it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, but this precious treasure, this light and power that now shine within us is held in a perishable container. That is, in our weak bodies. So everyone can see that the glorious power is from God and is not our own. Amen? You and I are earthen vessel. And if you're here this morning, Sister Myra talk about the earthen vessel. Does anybody of you what an earthen vessel is? We are. We are an earthen vessel. God call us the earthen vessel. Amen? That we're made of clay. We're made out of this earth. So the Bible says in Psalms 24 verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belongs to Him. So the whole earth belongs to the Lord and everything in it, not to the devil, and everything in it. I don't know about you, but I am not looking for an acre of land. I got my inheritance. This field belongs to me and I'm just going to hug it or love it. Right? Somebody will give you the whole city, but if there is no people in it, what does it do? You cannot hug the whole city. Oh, this is my whole city. But there is no people. It's just like, I just like this pulpit. I come here on every Sunday, and I will say, oh, I love this pulpit. But if there is no people, if you are not here, what am I doing here? So, God says, you know what? You will receive an inheritance. And that, when we first started the church, we started with Sister Rose, Irvin, and the teacher, and a box of Kleenex. Think about that, to start a church. Three people and a box of Kleenex. We cried out for the Lord. And the first thing that He gave us, asked of me, I will make you a nation. Because the building, what does it do if there is no people? See, the cry of our heart when we first initially started a church is the people, the nation. Start with one person. Just you. And then it reaches to a number of people. But how do I do? What shall I do if there is no you? Amen? Ask of me and I will give you the nation. If you want inheritance, ask God. Amen? That's the first truth. The second truth is the earth and in it was made for man. The meek people are going to enjoy earth. Why do you think that? He took us so much in baking the beautiful mountains and rivers and lakes and flowers and grass. Why do you think He did that? Only one reason. Because He wants us to enjoy. Enjoy it. Amen? How are we going to enjoy to be a witness to this world, to this dark world, perverse world, if we don't enjoy the earth? Look at. Amen? In Psalms 22, Verse 26, it says, the poor or the meek shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Amen? He leads the humble in what is right, teaching them his ways. He will teach his way to those who are meek. Amen? And that's why God put those people in the Bible, so that we can see, so that we can follow their attitude. Amen? In Psalms 37, verse 11, it says, those who are gentle and lowly will possess the land. They will live in prosperity, prosperous security. Do we have that air? In 37:11, those who are gentle and lowly will possess the land. They will live in a prosperous security. Not only prosperous, but they're secured. You don't have to worry about the bubbles or the stock exchange. Amen? Not only that, I have part and enjoy life possessing the earth and walking in line with walking with my brothers and sisters, but they are going to have an abundance of peace, abundance of joy. Amen? Because it doesn't really matter on what you have, whether it is a dinky house or a castle. Right? It doesn't matter. But a lot of people will look at this dinky hut, this dinky house, and will see that they will have a castle. They will say, I want that castle. I want that castle. I'm tired of living in a dinky house. I'm going to get 3 jobs, and I'm going to work hard. I'm going to strive to get that castle. I'm going to work. I'm going to strive to get that castle. The castle is what I want. And then you get a down payment for the castle. And then you want to keep the castle. So you work 3 times. Right? And you're happy. And one day you're going home. You get a head-on collision because you're tired and sleepy. And there you go. Have you read that Kaiser employee about, 7, 8 years ago? He was going home to a vineyard, going to Upland, because she lives in that high places there in near up in Miraloma or whatever they called it. He was going home. We're working 3 shifts in the morning, and she has a head-on collision, and she died because trying to keep the castle, to keep the house. That's the same thing when you're in the castle. You know, you work hard to keep the castle, to keep the payment. So you work 3 times, a 3 shift. There you go. You got heart attack. So what good it is? Here's life. Amen. But the Bible says that seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all his righteousness will be added unto you. Don't forget God. He will remind you times and times again. Because God cares for you. He wants you to enjoy life. Amen? He wants you to enjoy life. Enjoy the prosperity that He gave it to you. But you should live. We live in the kingdom of God. And that's what He should, that should be our lifestyle. Because when you're enjoying life, don't you think that's a witness to the whole world? Amen? And then you don't have to go, you don't have to go to church on Sunday. Oh, I'm tired. Come on, Pastor Ed, finish it up because I'm sleepy. See? God wants us to enjoy life in this world. Amen? Because we know when we go to heaven, that's a given. You and I will be enjoying. But here on earth, while we are still here, we can enjoy life. Amen? Hallelujah. Shall we all stand? Can we call Brother Ray? But before that, I want us to sing this song, Brother Ray. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he was it white as snow. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, what's and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin have left a crimson stain, he was it as no. Amen. Is it not that God washed away our sin? Amen. Even though it's a scarlet, but it's as white as snow. Amen. And that, you know, if God has given all of the things that we need, and he put us in his kingdom, and he said, you know what? If you only walk, if you follow these laws, I will bless you abundantly. It's not that it's like a genie, but they say that it is a given. When you obey me, it's a given. It's all the inheritance, all the everything. It said Jesus Christ said, seek me first and everything will come through. Right? Amen. Because you and I, you are now here in the kingdom of God. Amen. So walk in it. Amen? Because you will be blessed. Hallelujah. So Brother Ray, you want to come up and finish up the worship team? Oh, let's pray. You want to pray? Okay.